Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, as always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God they ever lived. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise. In the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum! For those of you who wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites. Be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth, bar none, anywhere, on the face of God's green earth. This is your platform for black education, black liberation, and black empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, The U.S.'s Global Circus of Chaos Nears Final Curtain Call. All praises due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I am surprised they allowed us to get on the air today. You know, every time we do a show, it seems like the next time when the show is up again, we do a live show, something goes down, we either get knocked off, blocked, or banned. That's the way it goes. But you are supposed to expect these kind of actions, especially when the devil is hemorrhaging from all of the divine onslaught that is taking place in America and around the globe. I recall something. While I'm talking to you, I think it's all of America. We're going to get into a lot of things, but I recall something about what the messenger was talking about. Everywhere you look and everywhere you turn, you got thieves in there. Here it is right here. Page 252 of the Fall of America. We got a lot of clips to play. We got a lot of things to talk about. And so you guys, please bear witness to the chief. To the teachings, to the truth, and please have patience as we lay down the foundation, because we always lay down a beautiful, strong foundation to erect this house of truth so that everyone who is listening can bear witness that it is indeed the truth, okay? Regardless of your religious persuasion or affiliation, when we get through laying down the facts, when we get through letting you hear what the devil says about his system, about how corrupt it is, about what they see going on, when we read articles from the devil's own archive and from what the devil has printed up, you will not be able to close your eyes or your ears to what is going on. I'm telling you, this is the global circus that is going on today. Most of you don't know all of the actors that are playing their part. You don't know that you're looking at a funhouse of mirrors that are deceiving you about the economic situation, that are deceiving you about the political situation, that are deceiving you about, you know, because when you go to a funhouse, the mirror changes your look, changes your size, changes your shape, all of these things, right? And it makes you appear as something which you're not. But this is what the news, the scribes, are doing. When I say scribes, you remember in the days of the Bible, they had scribes. This is the news, the news. They're run by the government of the Western world, and they want you to believe. They don't want you to believe in what's really happening. They want you to believe in what they are propagandizing to you. It's and I'm looking at the situation that is folding on in Haiti. I thought it just caught my attention right before the show. This is why I'm going to this, because on page 252, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said right here. And it's just a short quote, okay? But the chapter is called The Judgment Nears. Now, Elijah Muhammad put this in a book called The Fall of America, and he did that for a specific reason. Because as the judgment nears, there would be signs to it, right? And he wanted you to know that this would be a sign of what? The fall of America. You have to understand these things. This man is strategic in his thinking. He's strategic in his writing, and not a word that he speaks is waste on idle chatter, okay? Look at what he says. Everywhere that we look, and everything that we can think about, marks the end of this world. Stop right there. So he's telling you, don't believe the illusion of all of this happy-go-lucky stuff about this booming economy, about this so-called wealth. He's growing wealth for the people. He's growing equality for the people that they put there. We are past a racial society, right? Don't believe that. Why? Because he says, everywhere that we look, no matter which direction you turn, east, west, south, north, and everything that we can think about, be it political, geopolitical, economic, cultural, marks the end of this world. There never was a time in the history of the United States of America that the president, and when he talks about the president, he's talking about the president as an administration and not just as a singular person, that the president goes out to try to visit the heads of all the nations that seem to be somewhat as equal. We see America dispatching their counselors, their ambassadors, their secretaries of state, their secretaries of war, and even to the president himself going to Europe to try to muster support for his policy, even though he has alienated not only his enemies, but his allies alike. Muhammad says this. He is like a criminal who has committed a crime, and he hopes for mercy from those whom he has committed the crime against. Right? Is that not a description of the Trump administration? Is that not a description of the administration prior to Trump? So these are criminal regimes. I remember listening to Garrett Porter one time, and he was talking about the U.S. administration is a criminal enterprise. And if you look at Pepe Escobar and his description of the government of America, he also describes it as a criminal enterprise. So does F. William Ingall and others who are privy to information that you ignore. Right? You want to believe that everything will be all right. But that's not the way it is, because there's so many events that are taking place right here, right now, that marks the end of the American empire. And you know that America will not go peacefully in the night. Now, here's my book. I'll give you just a second because it's a point I want to get to. But brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention because, and I'm talking to you like this, because every time we do a show, we get disconnected. We get knocked off, we get blocked, we get all of that stuff, and if we get the show through, then the next time the show comes up, there's some kind of technical difficulty that takes place. So you're going to have to bear with me as I talk to you, because this is not idle chatter, this is stuff that is real. When you look into the Middle East, and maybe I'll go and I'll play some clips or whatever, you see so many things unfold. And remember what we told you on this show, that we told you that when this thing breaks out in the Middle East, people will, and nations will have to pick sides, right? For a while, they'll be dancing on the fence, right? Or like Brother Baldwin used to say, straddling the gatepost. They'll be straddling the gatepost, right? But as these things unfold, they will be forced. Because they want to, not because of so-called alliances, but because of the Lord of the world. He would be forcing them to choose sides. is going on right now. And we told you that there would be a major conflagration in the Middle Eastern, North African region. Do you not see all of the puzzle, the pieces of the puzzle, now being moved into the place? From the Sahel in Africa, the North African region, to the Gulf of Oman, right, to the Gulf of Aden, to the Persian Gulf, the Mediterranean, and all of the bordering states, and how America and the Western world see their power declining. They're afraid that Russia is gaining. They're afraid that China is gaining. So they're doing more destabilization efforts. They're trying to befriend people and then backstab them. They're trying to go and flex their muscles by attacking would-be allies of Russia and China. They're trying to destroy the economies and whole nations at ransom through the barrel of a gun. What did Trump say? You've been wrong. Kicks us out. We'll keep the money that we have in the bank. Now, think about this. I want you to pay close attention. If this is not a circus, if this is not madness on the part of America to believe that she can do things such as what I'm about to say, and then continue to keep an alliance and a friendship with the people to whom she has done it to and who she's planning to do it to, this shows you that she is totally insane. So she goes into Iraq under false pretenses. Multiple times now, because she didn't just go in the last time. She went in several times before. And prior to that, she had sanctioned the Iraqi people over a decade. Right? And when she broke the economic might, she knew that she had broke the military might of Saddam Hussein, and she went in full throttle. And she occupied it. And immediately changed the currency from the euro, because Iraq had the Iraqi dinar, but they had it paid to the euro, and they were no longer selling any petrol in dollars. And when America went in, even though it cost Iraq billions and billions and billions of dollars, one of the first things that America did after securing the oil field was to switch the monetary selling of petrol and petrochemicals back to dollars, causing a massive loss for the Iraqi nation, right? I want you to pay close attention to this, because a lot of people don't. They just don't discuss these things. Some of them are not privy to it. Some of them don't know it. Some know it and don't wish to discuss it because they fear that you will become more intelligent than them or become on an equal playing field. And if you are equal to them and not, they cannot exploit you. And today, people want to exploit you because they are a microcosm of the American culture themselves. Regardless of all of the righteousness that they proclaim, they feel that if they have something over you in your eyes, they are better than you in their eyes also, and that you will constantly look for them and to them to explain things to you, or that you will constantly look to them for leadership. Man, come on, we got to give you the truth. So again, when we talk about Iraq, know what I said. After we listen to this explanation, you would have to think that America is totally insane to believe that she can do this to nation and then still keep that friendship or being an ally. So when she switched the currency back, she not only switched the currency back, but she took the basis of the economic wealth that was being stored in Iraq to the U.S., New York, and the DMV area, I think Virginia, Washington, D.C., that area. So she would have control economically over Iraq, not only militarily, but more than anything economically. And she threatened the nation after they assassinated Soleimani. And Iraq, the Iraqi people rose up. She threatened them that if they would put the vote America out, that they would sanction them harder than they've ever been sanctioned before, and they would keep the money that is stored in America, which tens of billions of dollars, knowing that this was the lifeline, the economic lifeline to the Iraqi nation. Now tell me something. If I go into your house, I'm just being real with you. If I go into your house uninvited, after fighting you for over decades, weakening your defenses on your perimeter and inwardly, causing family members to die because I would not allow you outside of your house, and I would not allow medical treatment to come in your house or food supplies to come in your house, and all you had was what was stored in your house and in your yard, and sometimes I would throw stuff like Android and all that stuff in your yard, killing some of your plants. Do you think you and I would be free? I'm asking you. After I caused the death of numerous family members of yours, after I go in your house and ransack time and time again, and then I go in there and take all the valuables, move it to my home, then I send my family in to occupy your home, and then tell you if you vote me out, I'm going to keep the wealth that I stole from you regardless of how many people that I killed in your family and your house. Do you think that you and I will have a strong alliance as friends, as allies, as brothers? But this is the thinking of America. And she believes that if she continues doing this, this will force people into subjection under her rule, under her thought process. But this is also causing a ripple effect, a blowback effect. So remember that these are three great, it's actually four great theaters of war that we cannot forget about, the Latin, South American, and the Triumph Nation. Those ten horns. Ten horns are talked about in the Bible. That is the fourth theater of war. But we're not going to go into that at this moment. We're going to talk about three of the theaters of war that you see right now manifesting in the theater. The first theater of war is the North Africa, the Middle Eastern North African region. Don't you see that they're pouring in more weaponry? Don't you see all of these war games going on? Don't you see that? Don't you see the intensification of threat, the upping of threat, the constant, now it is a direct threat to these so-called global powers that as they confront each other on the battlefield, right, supporting different sides. And just the slightest mistake or arrogance, stones can cause this thing, this politics in the Middle East and North African region to explode. And remember, America is not the America of 20 years ago. America is not that great unrivaled superpower of 30 years ago. She's not. See, what helped her through a lot of her wars back in the day, she was the source of global wealth. She was producing most of the valuable things on earth. She wasn't just a consumer, she was a producer. But today the things are so different. She's the greatest consumer on earth that produces nothing but chaos, friction, division, and poverty with the spread of her dollar throughout the world. Because whenever they accept the dollars, it's attacked on their own currency, attacked on their own political independence, and attacked on their own economy. Because when America gets mad, she sanctions those dollars to the head of them, making them absolutely worse. You see what I'm saying? And she's doing this thing, and she can do this with impunity. But she's no longer the unrivaled, unmatched military juggernaut. She has great powers and medium powers that are challenging her, even down to small former satellite nations that are even challenging her political discourse. This shows you that the world is engulfed in something. That's why Elijah Muhammad said, everywhere that we look, right? Let's go back there. Let me say it. Everywhere that we look, and everything that we can think about marks the end of this world. So if you're thinking about the Kardashians, I think that's how you pronounce their name, but you know the white women with the butt implants that have a TV show for being global poor. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Kardashians. So if you're watching the Kardashians, or if you're watching the UFC, right? Or if you're watching court TV, if you look and your eyes open, you can see the degradation of society. You can see the decline in morals and ethics everywhere. And if you look at the job situation, and inflation and prices, you can see the collapse economically, right? Everywhere that we look, no matter where you look, whether it's in your own house or outdoor, you can see it. And everything that you can think about, see it. Politically, look at the political discourse in America and how divisive and how racially charged things are in America. Look at all that you see before you. It is spreading. It is like a cancer eating away at the core of this so-called American Republic. Everywhere that we look and everything that we can think about marks the end of this world. If you think about Europe, what's happening there? There's a great divide, isn't there not? People want out of the EU. But remember, that was the promise. That was the promise. If we just get together and become a United States of Europe, we can become one of the greatest economic powers. And then after becoming an economic power, we can forge our alliances militarily and become a unified military front to maintain white supremacy. Elijah Muhammad taught us that Europe, the word Europe broken down, EU, means hills and cave-side. And rope was that which bound them in those hills and cave-side. But when they broke free through colonialization, they removed the rope and had an alliance called EU, the EU, which represented where they were from, the hills and caves. But they had no bounds on them now, no restrictions on them now, so they spread out throughout the world. Right? But now the blowback effect economically is tearing this entire alliance apart. Britain has Brexit. Other nations are trying to leave the so-called union because they see that it is imploding. So the same things that they thought that they would protect themselves from as a unified front, they are now being roped back in. And that's where they will be dealt with. My brothers and sisters, destruction everywhere you look. And everything that you can think about marks the end of this world. Okay? Now, as I said, there's four theaters of war. And we're talking about the Western Hemisphere, the South and Central, and the Caribbean nations, right? That's one theater, but we're going to leave that to the number four. We're going to talk about the number one, the number two, and the number three theaters of war. We've already talked about the explosion of tension and the double-crossing of alliances that is taking place in the Middle East. And do you know that there are more and more warships headed to the Mediterranean? There are more and more warships headed to the Gulf of Aden, to the Gulf of Oman, to the Persian Gulf. You know there are more warplanes being deployed in that region by Russia. Do you know that there are even instructors and so-called military attachés and military trainers from China over there? And see, when you look at this thing, all they tell you about is the alliance between Russia and Syria and Hezbollah in Iran. But they're not telling you that Syria is to free a lot of these cities. Some of the weaponry, most of the weaponry, is Chinese weaponry. A lot of you don't even know that. And if I want you to pay attention to something. See, China has crept into this. And that's theater number two, Asia. We're connecting it to, and you'll see the legitimacy of what I'm talking about real, real soon. Okay? Just give me a second. So, Assad is trying to acquire the HQ9 defense system. Some of my sources say he may have already received it, and he may have received some modified shipborne missiles also. I want you to pay close attention because some of you don't sit back. And some of us, we do sit back, but we don't have the information to make a strong and reasonable assessment of the situation at hand. Okay? Now, when Russia was helping Syria, even though Russia was helping Syria, Syria was not making advances as they are making now. Why is that? for what you was hindering them through. But why are they now making swift advance? Recapturing land at rocket and lightning speed. Some of the Chinese trainers that are at the Russian and the Iranian military facilities in Syria. And the armored personal carriers and the vehicles, those are Chinese. Some of the rocket launch missiles, those are Chinese missiles. Some of them are Russian, some of them are Iranian, but a lot of it is Chinese. They have Chinese field officers there, right? Training. So you see how this stuff is leading to the Asian theater of war. Remember, the Middle East and North Africa is called, right, the Near East, right? And it's called Western Asia by some geopolitical planet. So this Western Asia or the Near East is also connected in effect to what you want to see taking place. Asia proper region, when the outburst of hostilities explodes. Right? I hope you're following what I'm saying. I'm trying to connect this stuff as good as I can at this moment, because there's so many things I want to touch upon, and there's so many things that I want to explain. But I want you to sit back and think, okay? I don't just want you to accept this as face value, because I want you to think. A lot of you don't sit back and think. Now, this has a connection. There was a meeting. Some of you are not privy to. There was a meeting between commanders of the Western Brigade, led by the U.S., and those of the Eastern Brigade, led by Russia. And Russia had leaders from Syria, Hezbollah, Iran, and China in these meetings when they met with attachés, military attachés from America and the NATO alliance. And there was a lot of friction going on. I won't open up and say a lot of what took place back there. That's for me to talk behind closed doors with the brothers that I normally talk to. But to put it mildly to you, America did not get what she wanted, and that's why she has become more and more belligerent. But this also has a lot to do, not just on the military theater, but it also has a lot to do economically. And so when America could not break an alliance that was going on there, when she could not press them and get what she wanted militarily and geopolitically, she also moved into other theaters. Hence you have the coronavirus, whatever it's called, the virus or whatever, all of this stuff is manufactured. Do you know that America, the American government, has the patent on the Ebola virus, similar to the virus that they're now screaming about? Do you know that on the Hon 1555 law that we have been reporting, at least for the last 2 years, okay, out about Russia and China and Iran's discontent with America and how America has been moving bioweapons labs all around the world? He has dozens of them, and most of them are on the periphery of China, Iran, Pakistan, and Russia. Russia's foreign minister and Russia's one of Russia's ambassadors called them out openly about what they were doing in Georgia, the former territory in the Soviet Union, which is now a balkanized nation, and how America has bioweapons labs there, and how America also has bioweapons labs in the center of Central Asia, in these former Soviet republics, which border Russia, China, Iran, and Pakistan. Right? All of this is connected. And America, she's moving these bioweapons labs, and she's experimenting with things. Notice how, if you Google this, brothers and sisters, I think, and I'm just going to put it in a paraphrase, U.S. troops, I'm going to give you a word, U.S. troops returning from China, quarantine or something like that, right? The question to ask is, what would U.S. troops in China? This is an assault. See, what you don't understand is this is a full-blown assault on not just China, but every time America makes an assault on a nation, she uses it as an example as she threatens other nations on what she's doing. And all of this is directly tied to prophecy, how America would lash out at the nation because she no longer could retain her rule over the nation of Israel. See, she failed to utter the other word. Allah is the greatest. Got the book. It opened up to page 103. I'll say you have it right. It opens up to it. In the title of this chapter is called Black and White Worlds Near a Showdown. And remember what I just read you. Everywhere that we look, and everything that we can think about marks the end of this world, right? This white dominated world. So, if you're seeing these events compartmentalized, you won't get the big picture. But if you look at the desperation of the American government and what they see happening to them wherever they've exercised power and dominion, and it's being rolled back and challenged, you will get a clear understanding of what is going on. We're seeing an empire in chaos. And the nations are rebuffing us, so we can clearly see and state the U.S.'s global circus of chaos near this final curtain call. This is what it says here. And I got to get some clips to prove what I'm saying. In this chapter, Black and White Worlds Near Showdown, never forget, as I'm reading this chapter here, the theaters of war that I'm explaining to you. And always remember, they try to say that Afghanistan is the longest war of the American Empire, the American Republic, and the American Republic. This is not true. The longest war that America has waged and is still waging is on her ex-slaves, the black people here in America. She has never relented, never backed down, never let up, because she has used us for experiments and continues to experiment us on us. She uses it for the Tuskegee Airmen. She used it when she was using polio, talking about she was giving us vaccines. She used it when she was injecting us with cancer. All of this stuff is genocide, crimes against humanity, yet you don't say a word about this stuff. Syphilis, right? There was a time that they had very rare cases of black people getting cancer, and now it's an epidemic here in America. How the hell did that happen? It didn't happen by chance. This is biological warfare. This is why they're coming at you through your water, through your food. And then they're trying to mesmerize you with sporting play and TV and radio, because they know that you have no knowledge of self, so they want to mold you. See, they are the potters of their ex-slaves, and they mold the potter's clay into whatever they feel that they want them to be. If they want to hold you as a mockery before the world, guess what they do? They changed the core mission of hip-hop from black empowerment from a gangster mafia. They take the symbolism of black Africanism, like the X-Clan and all of this, out of that. And then they put it AK-47s and Uzis in their hands and have their pants falling down. And then before you know it, the X-Clan mimic. So it's a full frontal assault on you mentally, physically, economically, and it is universally happening with the American so-called Negro and all of the black people, brown, red, and yellow across the globe. And we're talking about biological aging. We're talking about the doctor's knife. We're talking about the hospital. We're talking about all of this stuff going on because they are mad as hell about your future and what they see coming to them. Don't you see the extreme hatred that is going on and the growing animosity that white people have? They've had it so good for so long, and now that the goodness that they've had has been challenged. They're lashing out at you. Now that the playing field is becoming more even, or a little more even, by degrees, they can't stand it. They cannot stand an even playing field, and that's why America is trying to break China economically. But let us powerless to a showdown of who shall rule the nations of earth. Listen to this, brothers. Okay? And please, for those of you who are not religious or have a different religion, stay focused. Alright? It's not going to hurt you to pay attention to something to see whether or not you can put it on a scale of facts and weigh it, okay? Only ignorant people are people who are completely in the dark, who won't, they don't want no part of truth if it is other than what they have been brought up to think. Don't be that person because you're losing the end, okay? You'll be a loser. But let's go further. The present world, and then in parentheticals, Elijah Muhammad writes white people. So he's referring to this world that we see falling. And he says it is white people, or the white world, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparations made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth. Stop right there. What is going on, right? America feels like she's been trying to fill it with. As a matter of fact, I have an article on the website, and I have I emailed myself something last night, and I got to go to my email to bring it up. But I emailed myself something, and I hope I can bring it up within time on this show, about what they're saying in the government, the U.S. government, and in the House. I think it's the House, one of the committees of the U.S. House of Representatives. I emailed myself. So I want to finish reading this, and then I want to play a clip. And then while the clip is playing, I'm going to go to my email, and I'm going to try to put it up if I can find it. I get so many emails and so many requests for certain things that I may not be able to bring it up. And let me see if I can bring it up. All right, I got a lot of questions. I got to answer a lot of emails, brothers and sisters. I'll get to when I get to time, okay? I'm not, God knew this, but I'm one person and I have a whole bunch of things. But anyway, I can't pull it up at this moment, but, here it is. I'm looking right at it. This is from Forbes. And I'm going to read this again, but I want you to pay close attention to this stuff here, because a lot of you read these articles, and in your reading, you skip over some very, very important little points. In your eyes, they may be minute or maybe throw away or something, but it's a lot to what is being said. So I'm going to read this stuff here, okay? And then I'm going to go back to this chapter that I was just reading. And I want you to pay close attention. What is going on? The videos they put in the middle of articles and stuff that pops across the screen. Okay, here we are. So listen to this, okay? And I want you to keep in mind what Elijah Muhammad said right here. He said, the present world, white people, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparations made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth, right? Okay? We have that, okay? Now, take close attention. Now, I'm going to read through this article, flip through it, because I want you to pay close attention to certain things that are going on. And the name of the article by Forbes magazine is called Navy May Cut Submarines in 2021 Plan While China Bumps Out Warships, right? And it's by a contributor for aerospace and defense. His name is H.I. Stephen, okay? And he says, I cover the changing world underwater warfare. So, once you take close attention, you might say, that does this have to do with attention? Because there's minute things up in it that you would overlook, but has a grand effect on what America's thought process in the world that we see today, okay? And I'm going to point it out to you, so be patient. The U.S. Navy may only build 6 new warships in fiscal year 2021, including just 1 submarine, and retire at least 5, according to a budget proposal released Monday by the Pentagon. In contrast with China, which continues to grow and modernize miniature aircraft carriers, over a dozen of them, right, that go around the world. And even though she's bloated her budget and she continues to spend more than the top 20 nations combined, it's never enough. Why? I'm asking you this. It's never enough. Why? And then they look at China. They got eyes on China, and they got eyes on China in the Asia, in the Asia Pacific, in the Asia Indian region. Why? Because they know. Again, this is what he said. In contrast with China, which continues to grow and modernize its navy, China is producing warships at an incredible rate, almost certainly many more than the Pentagon plan. Not right there. So China, they see that China is turning out warships like McDonald's turns out cheeseburgers, right? They are. China's doing it. But it's for divine purpose. Remember, I've always told you that Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that when this war breaks out in Asia, China is going to be victorious. They are preparing for this. They've been preparing for this since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told them this stuff. That's why they listened to him and they took his five-year economic program and put it into play, and now China has the strongest, regardless of what they're saying, the strongest economy globally. China is the largest creditor nation. China is the largest manufacturer, right? And now China's military technology is on par with the Western world, and in some cases, far exceeds. Remember what the other woman says, that this yellow man of Asia will chase down this American white man in everything that he once dominated in. Did I lose sight of this? All of this is tied economically. This is tied to that flu. This is why America is trying to she's trying to rattle confidence in China. She's trying to rattle confidence in the Chinese economy to invest. And remember that this happened after the protests failed in Hong Kong. So was so Chinese rule in Hong Kong. Remember that this virus thing happens after this. Remember that this virus thing happens after America loses her footing internationally as China beats her in the trade game. Remember this happened after America also provokes China by sending warships and warplanes constantly through the South China Sea, and China would not give an inch. Remember this happened as China says that they would be strategic partners with Russia. These things are not happening in void. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. And so, too, these analysts are watching not only China's economic growth and China's destabilizing, because they know without economic growth, you cannot position yourself to overthrow and challenge the dollar or overthrow and challenge America's imperial military might. So you as black people here in America should be watching this with a magnifying glass, because if the dollar does not decline and fall, if the economy of America does not collapse, then you don't go free. So all of these things that you're watching and that you're seeing and that you're feeling is a part of freedom and revolution that is rattling your soul. You understand me? Let's go a little further. I got to read this stuff. I'm going to try to get to these scripts, but I got to break this stuff down. We have to sweep up this house. We can't leave this house dirty. Each room that we go in, we have to sweep it. And a lot of times, as we're laying down the basis or the foundation, it takes so much time. And we only have like an hour and a half, 2 hours to talk to you. And then when we plan a part two, you know what happens, Blog Talk Radio, the State Department, and all this stuff. Because I'm on the State Department, the show, and myself, we're listed as a threat and a hate group and a threat to U.S. national security. But you know this or not. But like we have done, we should even be listed as that. Because we tell people, don't pick up arms against this beast. How the hell are you going to pick up arms and fight this beast within his own borders like this? Do you think he's going to give you the best of what he manufactures in his own borders? There'll be a time for all of this. You are supposed to render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God. Huh? You understand me? How the hell you going to fight him and you got a cap gun, a pop gun, or a semi-automatic rifle, and you firing at him, and then you run out of bullets, and you got to go to his ammunition shop to get some more. Mr. White Man, I need to buy some more clips. What you need to buy them for? So I can fight you. I'm tired of you ruling me. You know that's insanity. You go fight him with an automatic weapon, and he goes into other countries and steamrolls entire military force. We don't sit down and think about it. We want some kind of projection of power. We want to be looked at in some kind of light as a liberator. And instead of realizing the time that we're in, but let's go a little further, okay? Y'all give me time. Let's go back to this article from 4, okay? So, furthermore, see, Papa, why only 4 things? Anyway, it says, the Chinese Navy, known as the PLAN or the PLAN, which is an acronym for the People's Liberation Army Navy. I want you all to know that. That's not in the article, but that is the acronym for the People's Liberation Army Navy. That's what China calls its Navy. The Chinese Navy, known as the PLAN, has several new shipbuilding programs underway. Last month, it commissioned the first of its latest Type 055 class of destroyers, the 10,000-ton Nanjing. Actually, it's a 13,000-ton. I talked about that on the show. It's the most powerful destroyer in the world. Listen to me good. If China is not preparing for what's coming in Asia, why are they commissioning ships like that? They're so advanced. Not only do they have anti-missile capability, and this is what has alarmed America, that China, because America's missile capability is like 40 miles on their destroyer, China's new Type 055 to 13,000 tons, their missile capability is 200 miles. They see you before you see them, and their missile capability, when they hit you with the missile, it comes so hard, so fast, and so low that the kinetic energy alone would destroy a ship from one of their missiles. And you can go Google this stuff and read this stuff. I'm telling you this. They're preparing for something, and then the committee, the House committee, they talked about this. They talked about how China is buffing up with their capability. Not only are they looking at large fleets, but they are technologically advanced fleets that can run roughshod over U.S. fleets, and this has alarmed the U.S. Okay? So let's go further. It says, and then there is this second aircraft carrier, the Shandong, which was commissioned in December, and an array of other modern, listen to this, and an array of other modern destroyers and frigates, not to mention new assault carriers. The first of the assault carriers was launched last year, and at least one more is already under construction. These assault carriers is what I was just telling you. There are many aircraft carriers. You understand me? But let's go further. It is difficult to closely compare the U.S. and Chinese Navy shipbuilding. The two navies have different starting points for underlying capabilities. Look at what he says. He wants to throw an inflection of goodness to America, right? But we still have the qualitative edge. But then later he admits that they don't. But look, I digress. Let me just read this. The U.S. is still ahead in numbers and quality, so needs to build fewer to maintain its opposition. And if that's the case, then why are you crying about it in this office? If the U.S. is still ahead in quality and quantity, then why the hell are you complaining about it right now? Something ain't right here. But let's go further. It says, in China, often takes longer to build warships. Stepping back, it is hard not to see the growing gulf in output. This latest U.S. budget plan is much smaller than previous years, while Chinese shipyards continue to pump out very modern hulls. Let me see what this is. It says, the 2021 budget plan does not include two Arleigh-Burke-class air defense destroyers and the first of a new class of guided missile fleet. U.S. Naval Institute reported that the three major vessels previously expected are cut from the plan. I'm trying to get to something. Let me sit down something. Oh, man. Anyway, it says, these are Virginia-class attack submarines, the second frigate, and an oiler. And I'm going to skip to this because I know I got to get in and out. But I'm going to play the clip shortly. And we'll see the other side. We'll see the military side. We're going to try to get all this in. I know, brother, because I told you, I'm going to play some clips. I know some of you get offended when I'm not able to. I have to lay this stuff out. So, in the gist of this article, first is bigger, the most powerful and shining is better. Did he say that? I could have swore to you he said that. But they kept something, and then at the same time, reality sets in, and they're saying that China is turning out more ships, more warships than all of NATO combined. And they're doing it at an alarming rate. Now, if you don't see war coming, that would be useless, right? I'm asking you this. That would be useless, right? They are so afraid. I want you to listen to this, because I got another thing emailed to me that's in conjunction with this. I emailed it to myself. But they are so afraid of what they see coming in the theater of war in Asia that they have a subcommittee. Listen to me good. They have a subcommittee in Congress that is specifically designated. This is unheard of. For the not only the Asia-Pacific region, but for China. I'm not lying to you. Brothers, I hope you can Google it and find out. You might have to put in certain keywords, but they have it. And I ran across this by mistake. Night before that, I was like, what the hell? Because I'm reading the article. I said, what the hell? Hold on, let me go back for a second. And so I kept reading the article over and over again, and something just kept sticking with me. And it was talking about this committee, and it's a committee that talks about China, specifically talks about China's military rise, China's economic clout, China's friend, China's growing political clout, China this, China that, and they are scared to death at what they see. It's a committee for this, and they have all kinds of writings on this stuff about what they see coming out of China. It's amazing, but you don't know this because you don't take the time. You would rather spend your hard-earned money and your attention on the Super Bowl than realizing what's happening geopolitically and economically, and it's all for you. All of this stuff, all these pieces of this puzzle that is being put into place is for the liberation of Black America first, the Red Indians of America, and then our people globally. I know it, and you can see the trend is happening, and again, we go to the coronavirus or the coronavirus. I get messed up with that virus, but anyway, you know what I was telling you? That this happened after America kept losing. But it also happened after America kept losing political clout in Asia. Recently, not too long ago, there was an Asian meeting, the ASEAN, and all of them, and then they had another meeting, the Shangri-La Dialogue, and indeed, most of the Asian nations rejected America's advances, rejected America's threat, rejected the American dollar, rejected trying to isolate China, and rejected choosing America over China. They openly did this. And even when Trump sent the Secretary of State and the Secretary of War over there to try to coerce people, some of the leaders of the nations did not even show up to the so-called American meeting that was so billed as so important. So this virus is a direct result of America using everything in a playbook, okay? And you can see it because they talk about how China has made inroads everywhere. In all of the Indo-Pacific theater, in the Asia-Pacific theater, right? And how then America says, we won't allow China to coerce nations. And so it's such a bad power. We won't allow China to put these nations in debt. That's not how you continue to keep the dollar as a relevant currency by strapping the nations down and locking them down in debt. We will not allow China to do X, Y, and Z. Because, see, what was going on, the nations, they have a weapons seminar. I forget where it's at. And China is a big player now, right? And America is scared that she's not only losing her clientele to Russia, she's losing it to China. And since we have all these sanctions on Russia and China and all that, America's not dumb, bro. Everybody knows what's going on as we talk about the second year of war. And remember, I told you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the nation of Asia would eventually choose China. And they would turn on America when this war breaks out. But we're seeing signs of that with these meetings, with these dialogues. As a matter of fact, let us listen to this, okay? This clip here, all right? And then you'll see, I think, Michael Malouf, he's talking about China, right? And he's talking about, he was a Republican, he worked in several administrations and in Congress also. And even he tries to fancy stuff up a little bit, but he, at least he will admit that China is a full global power now that challenges America. He wasn't this way 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But all of a sudden, in the 60s and 90s, 70-year break here, it seems to happen in time and on time. It did not happen before time. It happened on time to challenge the American empire. You got to understand these things. But I want you to listen to this clip. This is about 6 minutes. Then when we come back, we'll discuss that, and we'll go into a three-minute clip. Then I'll try to break something down. Maybe we'll go into the economics of this. But I have to tie this up with the military point here in Asia. All right? And then we'll come back. Stay close to me.
So in response to this, what appears to be a tit-for-tat move, the president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, is saying it's about time, quote, we rely on ourselves. Joining us to discuss this abrupt move, former Pentagon official Mike Maloof is here. So Mike, this nearly seven-decade pact between the U.S. and the Philippines is about to come to an end. That's according to the Philippines Foreign Secretary Teodoro Loxin. He is signing off on ending the VFA on orders of President Duterte. So what sort of blow does this deal to the U.S. presence in the South Pacific?
Well, I think it was coaxed by China over time. I mean, this is not a new development, frankly. Last year, the defense minister called for an assessment. And there's still some opposition within the Philippine military. The head of the Philippine Navy, for example, still talks about how this is the bulwark of our security pact by having this continuing relationship with the U.S. But I think that the die is cast, the decision's been made. However, Duterte, as given his nature, could turn 180 degrees within a few weeks. Who knows? But right now, there are incentives that are coming to him from outside, and that basically is from China. We're seeing China offering him almost as soon as this announcement came,
yeah.
China's offering him $24 billion grant.
That's not a coincidence.
No, it's not a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. But
right.
And also Duterte is going to be plugged in, if you will, to the so-called maritime New Silk Road initiative, which is part of the overall Belt and Road initiative that China has instigated. This gives Philippines access to the South China Sea, and of course China lays claim that no other country has rights in there.
Right.
This is all going to be waived now for the Filipinos. So and it's really meant to aid in China's regional hegemony. And it's doing this with other countries in the region as well.
But I think some people are going to be confused then. Why is he trying to pin this on the U.S. withdrawing the visa of his ally of De La Rosa? Why that and not just come out and say, hey, I'm building a better alliance building alliances with Russia?
It's like a divorce in some states. You got to have a cause, you know, whether real or imagined. This has been going on for some time. And one of the complaints he's had is that the U.S. and Philippines have had increased maneuvers, for example, but the U.S. never leaves them the more expensive equipment.
So they want the toys?
They want the toys, yes. They wanted the toys, and the toys were not forthcoming. So this is one of the other complaints that they've had over time.
Wow. I mean, on the surface, it sounds almost petty, Mike, but I think mm-hmm. because of the long history, I think there probably is a lot more here than what people are talking about.
It's more of a geostrategic, geopolitical decision because Duterte has really been angling more toward Beijing for some time now.
Well, I mean, it would make sense. They're on the same side of the world.
Yeah.
And obviously, Duterte, when he came into office, he has been widely criticized as a strong man. We know of his, mm-hmm. you know, sweeping drug lord overhaul where, you know, his soldiers are killing them on the street on mm-hmm. sight, mm-hmm. That he rules with an iron fist. Mm-hmm. At one point, President Trump used to sing his praises, mm-hmm. and now they're coming to this. But does he have a point when he criticizes this accord and basically allowing American troops to be able to act in less than an ethical manner, I guess we'll say, to the locals. That there are claims of rape and other tales that the Filipino folk mm-hmm. talk about, mm-hmm. and that there's no recourse because of this VFA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these, again, are visible excuses, but, again, Duterte has longer-term interests because of the sweeteners that Beijing has offered. And he's got to find reasons to make a decision. I mean, we've seen for years where, given the arrangement we have with Japan, Okinawa has always complained about the
bad
Marines,
behavior.
About the bad behavior, but we haven't. We did.
There.
Yeah, we're still there.
And last, Mike, where does this put the U.S. then in terms of strategy in Asia going forward? You mentioned Okinawa.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to cause the United States to recede a little bit because Philippines has been very strategic for the U.S. But the U.S. has, you know, they have 24 carrier task forces, so they can, or 12 carrier task forces, so they can go anywhere they want and on any platform that they want. And they still have Japan. They have they have Vietnam. They have a few other countries that in the region that'll give them haven. Plus, we have that show of force capability. So it's not the end of the world with the Philippines. It was convenient, but this is just one less aggravation that the United States will have to put up with.
Yeah.
But as I say, Duterte could change tomorrow.
Right. He's very similar to Trump in that way.
You
just never
very unpredictable. And that's one of the reasons why I think they got along, because they each recognize each other's authoritarianism.
Well, it's always kind of sad to see an alliance that was, you know, built from World War II. The U.S. needed the Philippines in order to win.
Well, against Japan, and now they're one of our closest allies. So
all right. Well, we'll see if this happens in the next 180 days, as they say. So we'll see how that unfolds. Michael Loop, always appreciate your expertise.
Thank you.
Did you hear what he said? He said something here. As he said, as he talked about the situation and how he said that it will cause America to recede, then he said this is one less headache for us. Talking about America. Instead of saying there was one less headache for Duterte in the Philippines, because the Philippines is not occupying America. America has been occupying them. He talks about Japan reporting against Japan, and now they're our close ally. No, they're not. This is just an illusion. Why are you in Japan? The people in Okinawa, they have been protesting every day. But most of you don't understand this. People in Okinawa have protested every day for the removal of U.S. bases off that island. You know the bases take up the majority of the Okinawan island? You know that? The people in Guam want America gone. You know that? That's an occupied island of America. Do you know that South Korea has had continuous protests of U.S. bases? Do you know these things? See, because the media doesn't tell you this, just like I was reading an article today, and I'm not getting off the subject, but I was reading an article today, and I think it was by the Washington Post. I believe it was the Washington Post. I could be wrong, but I believe it was the Washington Post. And they were talking about the situation that most of you listening to the show already know about the confrontation that took place in Syria yesterday between Syrian forces and U.S. forces, and how Russia had to intervene to stop it exploding right now. Got to be arrogant to go and be an illegal occupier in another nation, get mad because the people take this American flag down, they go up there and say, what are you doing in our country? And they want you gone, and then you fire upon them and kill a child. Because you're saying they're belligerent. First of all, you don't have no legitimate right to be there. But we know that this took place, right? And we know that it was an uprising, an organic uprising, of the people in Syria. And it was Kurds. A lot of them were Kurds. The same group of people that America has been coaxing to turn against Syria. And we know that the Syrian armed forces commit to firing on U.S. forces as a cover to protect the civilians, which is any army's obligation. So in the U.S., in the Washington Post today, they titled it, and so, where's this phone? If I can pick it up real quick while I'm talking. Well, I don't know if I can pick it up on my phone. But it's an article. It's in Google News. You can go to Google News and go down and keep going until you get to the article. It's going to be MRAP, I believe it is, or armored vehicle with a U.S. flag on it, and it's going to be clear to anybody to look at that article. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it says something to backers of the Syrian regime fired on U.S. troops. What they did, they took all the truth out of what took place, and they put the justification for America killing a child and shooting at civilians. They put all the blame on Syria and the people. The organic uprisers had to be the regime supporters, not the government supporters or the supporters of a free Syria, but regime supporters who fired on U.S. troops. That's what was in there. I was like, man, these scribes are something else. Some people just swallow themselves. They never challenge the line that is prominent in the news. They just look at it and just regurgitate it. But that's the manic time is going by quick. 19 minutes, but I still got to get back to this article, and I'll figure out the why. But like I said, I have to give you this stuff and let you deal with it. So we've listened to that. Now we've got to listen to another part from them in just 3 minutes. We'll come back, we'll discuss it, then we'll listen to another. I'm going to try to get you out of the way. So listen to this right here.
And now, onto the video you came here to see. It is a 69-year-old treaty that is being ripped up and tossed out. Today, the Philippines notified the United States that their major security pact is over. For more on this developing story, let's turn to RT's Farron Frontak. She's following the story out of D.C., over, way over into the Philippines. So, Farron, the question is, after almost 70 years, why now?
Yeah, Manila, so the United States was given a warning roughly 3 weeks ago by Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte that if the U.S. didn't reinstate the country's national police chief's visa, he would end the visiting forces agreement, known as the VFA, which allows American forces to train in the country. Now, Washington reportedly canceled the U.S. visa of Duterte's loyal ally, Senator Ronald De La Rosa, after he was linked to human rights violations when he first enforced the president's anti-drug crackdown. The U.S., other Western governments, and even human rights groups were alerted that thousands of mostly poor suspects were killed under this anti-drug crackdown launched by Duterte when he took office back in 2016. Now, Duterte said that President Trump did try to save this agreement, but he rejected the idea, adding that he's tired of the United States getting involved in Philippine affairs. Take a listen.
America continues to look as a vassal state, because we were under the Americans for 50 years. So if I cannot get a credible posture from the Americans, I can get it from the Russia and the Chinese government. It's because they respect the sovereignty of the country, which America is totally lacking.
Now, since gaining independence from the United States back in 1946, the Philippines actually been one of America's strongest allies in the Southeast Asian region. But since coming to power in 2016, Duterte has publicly criticized the U.S. and recently accused American forces of secret activities in his country. Now, as for today's decision to end the U.S. security agreement, the U.S. Embassy in Manila has responded, writing, "This is a serious step with significant implications for the United States-Philippines alliance. Our two countries enjoy a warm relationship deeply rooted in history. We remain committed to the friendship between our two peoples," Manila.
So, Farron, do we know when this all goes into effect? And has there been any backlash to Duterte's move?
Well, Manila, as far as the timeline, here's what the president's spokesman had to say about that earlier today. Take a listen.
The notice of termination has been sent, and the effectivity of that would be 180 days from the receipt of the U.S. government of such notice.
So you heard 180 days. Now, Manila, some Philippine senators believe the decision by Duterte, which the Senate ratified, should have had the chamber's consent with the country's foreign secretary, saying this: terminating the VFA will negatively impact the Philippine security and defense arrangements, as well as the overall bilateral relations of the Philippines with the U.S., and perhaps even on the sub-regional level. Our contribution to regional defense is anchored on our military alliance with the world's last superpower. Now, according to the DOD, American forces have provided intelligence, training, and aid that helped the Philippines to deal with human trafficking, cyber attacks, legal drugs, and even terrorism. The U.S. military also helped Filipino forces stop a siege by an Islamic State group aligned militants back in 2017. Reporting in Washington, Farron Franzak, RT.
So you hear what's going on. They're rejecting America's presence now. They say America has to be helping the Philippines fight terror and fight this and fight that. Do you notice the terror groups are never there until America's gone? I'm asking you this. Do you notice that the destabilization of the nation are never there until America's there? Do you know the dissatisfaction that goes exponentially when America's there blossoms and blooms out of control until you have a flying state that is subjected to America's will? Everywhere she go, I mean, brothers and sisters, listen. If you do something in your life, America, they keep a track record of it, be it school, right? Be it job history, be it credit history, be it legal history. They keep it, right? And if you go before a judge, or you, sometimes you go to get your credit, you made a few bad mistakes on not being wise to your credit. And you go to get something, and you apply, and they say, I'm sorry, you've been declined. And you, why? And they say, well, we have these little blemishes on the credit report, and so we refuse to take that chance on them. They keep the history of you, right? And you say, well, that was back then. And even though I'm paying these people over here, you're going to hold me responsible for back then when I didn't know? And they say, well, we're sorry. Just try to get the credit up, right? That's what they'll tell you. Now, you go before the judge, right? And they'll look at your track record. And a lot of times, if you go in the courtroom, the judge is looking down at what is presented to him on his desk. Long before he ever looks at you, he's already made up his decision and a conclusion of who you are by a track record there, right? So the nation, all you have to do is look at where America has gone, look at where she's at, and look at the track record. You understand? Hold her to accountability the same way she holds you and other nations, right? But Mr. Maloof said something that was quite interesting. When he was asked about what does that mean for America and Asia, and when China is forging all of these alliances, not only with the Philippines, but with other nations, he said America will recede a little bit. Right? Now, according to Google Dictionary, the word recede is a verb, right? And it means go or move back or further away from a previous position, to retreat, to go back, to move back, to move further off, right? To move away, to diminish, to lessen, to decrease, to dwindle, to fade, right? So when Elijah Muhammad tells you that, it is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low. They already did unite against this one of America and put you out of Asia, right? What did Mr. Maloof say? We'll recede a little bit. But the word recede gives us all that we need to know about the superstition of American thinkers and what they see happening with the rise of China, right? They see the American empire, the American republic, and Western domination and influence receding or starting to retreat, to go back, to move back, to move further off, to move away, right? To diminish, to lessen, to grow less, to decrease, to dwindle, to fade. Is that not what Elijah Muhammad told you? It's easy to prove Elijah Muhammad's teaching. I mean, it isn't so easy. So, you have that. And if you don't believe that they thought about it, if you don't believe that this global circus that you're looking at, this chaos that is being created by this global circus and her desire to maintain sway and rule and dominion over the nation. If you don't believe that this global circus is in chaos and we're looking at a final curtain call, all you have to do is look around the world and see her position as it recedes everywhere, right? Think about this. I'm going to give you this, and then I'm going to address something, then we'll go to this clip, okay? Think of this. 15 years ago, neither China nor Russia would have openly challenged America in Asia, in the Middle East and North Africa. Now Russia is putting a military base in North Africa. And what's ironic about this is that military attachés to these Western military bases, some of them are Chinese. These are in North Africa. And all of these bases are close to French bases. Canadians, yeah, Canada has bases there too. Canadian bases, American bases, German bases, Italian bases, all of these bases that they're putting there, they're calling it training centers, logistical supply hubs. All of these are right along the same lines of what America and the West are doing. They're preparing for something major. And you just don't understand. Okay? So, again, if you do not believe that the collapse is on, if you don't believe that America is in her final death throes, if you don't believe what I'm saying, say, just look back 20 years. Russia has more nuclear weapons than America, but she knew militarily she could not match her 20 years ago. China could not match America 20 years ago. So when America bombed China's embassy in Baghdad, when the Chinese embassy was given Saddam Hussein intel on America's moves in Iraq, and America bombed the Chinese embassy, which was a direct act of war, recognized universally. The Chinese bit their tongue, swallowed their pride, and bided their time. This would never be a repeat again, China said. I remember when, what is his name, Xi Jinping, who was the president, I believe at the time, he said, this would never be a repeat again. They were furious, but they knew that they had not the military capacity nor the economic clout to challenge the empire at that time. But that was yesteryear. And now what do you see taking place? Okay? We're seeing a new era, a new day, where nations are rising up to challenge the American empire. Brothers and sisters, I want you to give me a little more time because I am going to go to the line before the show closes, but I do want to get to this clip about to show you that, that America realizes that China is that serious threat to them. And I'm not talking about in the lines of what they're saying. I'm telling you in the lines of prophecy how that that nation, that Asiatic nation that rose up to challenge America would unify them nations over there and help push America out of Asia. And if America wanted to do business with the Asian nations, she would not be coming in as a dictator. She would come in as an observer, and she would come in humble, bowing to what they say, not the other way around. This is Elijah Muhammad's teaching. These are what's in the Bible and in the Holy Quran, and we're seeing it happening in real time right now. Right? But listen to what they're saying. I want you to pay close attention to this. This is a clip. I haven't even heard this clip. Okay? I downloaded it. That's a short clip. Where is it? It's a short clip. Oh, here it is. About 2 minutes. This is Pompeo. He sees China as a central threat. But listen to this.
The risk of terrorism in the world is lower today because of the good work we did in the United States, because of the remarkable work that happened here in the United Kingdom, and many partners who share our value set and know the risk from terror. But times move on, and while we still have to be enormously vigilant about terror, there's still challenges all across the world. The Chinese Communist Party presents the central threat of our times. It is
stop that right there, and I'm going to replay that. Remember what Elijah Muhammad said? That America, she knows that the yellow man is coming up there. This is why she put all them bases around the second island chain to hem her in. And nothing told you that. This is what that was the purpose of her doing that. Because she understood prophecy and how that yellow man would break out and chase her down. So America got busy putting bases and hemming her in with a whole lot of bases using Japan's islands and China's occupied islands to hem her in for her naval capacity to be limited. But while this was happening, the yellow man was preparing because they had insight from Elijah Muhammad from when that reporter came and had an interview with the messenger. She went right back to Peking, not Beijing at the time, but Peking, and gave the information over to the Communist Party. And they started moving on it then because they knew the word of Elijah Muhammad was right in his day, and he is right in his day. So this is what Pompeo is saying to his people in the U.K. on what they see. Again, I want you to take close attention.
The risk of terrorism in the world is lower today because of the good work we did in the United States, because of the remarkable work that happened here in the United Kingdom, and many partners who share our value set and know the risk from terror. But times move on, and while we still have to be enormously vigilant about terror, there's still challenges all across the world. The Chinese Communist Party presents the central threat of our times. It is an enormous economy to which the American economy is deeply tied. There is huge opportunity for us to do really great, creative, innovative business work between our two countries. But the Chinese Communist Party, under President Xi, has made clear that they have an agenda that is not always consistent with the very values that Dominic and I have been speaking about this morning. Yeah, I'm headed to Ukraine from here, where we'll talk to our team on the ground there, where we're on the edge of the European frontier, talk about how we can provide continued support to the Ukrainian people from the aggressions that Russia has undertaken over the past handful of years. We're mindful of that. We're trying to find places. We work with the Russians. I worked alongside my Russian intelligence counterparts doing counterterrorism. We did some good work together, but the space there was significantly more limited. So we have to be mindful this is a nuclear-capable nation, and we have to make sure that as we think about these things, as we are beginning to enter conversations about the next generation of arms control agreements, that we're mindful how to deliver security and safety to Europe and to the world. And with respect to the Islamic Republic of Iran, they remain the world's largest state sponsor of terror. Sadly, that has not changed. We are convinced that the work that the United States has done to put enormous pressure on their economy has reduced their capability to harm people right here in the United Kingdom. Right? The Islamic Republic of Iran has conducted assassination campaigns throughout Europe. We think they have less resources and less money to do that today. We know what happens in Lebanese Hezbollah and in Syria, all the humanitarian disaster that it is, largely fomented by the leadership from the Islamic Republic of Iran. We think denying them money and wealth is the right way to go, to force them to make difficult decisions so that, in fact, the Iranian people get their opportunity. They get their opportunity to change the nature and behavior of that regime that has so poorly served the 80 million people that live inside of Iran.
They're always transposing what they do on other people. The largest state sponsor of terror in the world. Iran doesn't have bases around the world. Oh, they have been assassinating people in Europe. No, you've been assassinating people around the world. You just proved it with the assassination of Soleimani. Right? See, America does this. She does this bait and switch thing. Well, she'll do something and she'll blame you for doing it. Like she did in Russia. Russia's invading Ukraine, and Russia was stupid and pulled back. And then America went in there and invaded Ukraine. Right on Russia's border. Is that not something? I'm telling you. Yeah. But these are the things that are causing this situation to become more and more out of control. Remember, they said that President Xi has shown that he's not on America's agenda, I'm paraphrasing, and not going to comply with America, right? So he sees the Chinese Communist Party, which controls the PLA, the PLA, the plan, the PLA, and the PLA airport, right? The military airport, the People's Republic of China. He sees this as the central threat of their time. This is what he said, right? Now, why does he say that? We need to go over a little time. We only have a minute and a half. I'm going to bring you in, so please stay on the line. But I want to address something, why he said that. Right? This is what Elijah Muhammad said. You go to theology of time, right? He said, and I'm just going to read it so some of it may not make sense to you who are not steeped in Elijah Muhammad, because I'm not just going to read my point. I read in the context. So I read stuff prior to, then I read so that you can get all in this context. I don't want to take nothing out of context. Okay? So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, this is not out of the order of science. Don't even attack the man that says these things, because you will fail to win. This weak germ in us, the black man, a different color that was brown. Yaqub said, I will take the brown germ away from the black one and make a man of the brown germ. Teach him and give him my wisdom, my knowledge. Then he can rule the black man from whom I have taken him, until the black man produces a man that is wiser than him. He then will take me and my made man away off the scene to never rise anymore. Now, I read that for 6 weeks. Now, let's go further. I read that to give it in context, to contextualize it. He's talking about the making of the white man, the making of the race from this germ that was dormant in us, how we took that germ out of us. And the Bible says, if you give me a form. So what Yaqub did was take that germ out of us and give it a living form, right? And this is not out of the order of science. They prove it every day now. They even go into the genome of things. They go into the DNA of things now. They clone things. So this is not out of the order of science, what I'm talking to you about. But this goes deeper, and I want you to understand what's going on with China, what's going on with America, what's going on in the Asia-Pacific, how it directly ties in with the Northeast, North Africa and the Middle Eastern area, and how it ties in with Europe, and how all of these theaters of war will produce the collapse of the American empire. But listen to what Elijah Muhammad says right after this. He told his people, the white people, when you live on this earth for 6,000 years, don't try to rule the seventh. Because in the 7,000 years, your brother coming from the east is going to eat you up. The white man or devil knows this. Pompeo said, you see, what? The Chinese Communist Party as the greatest threat of our time. This is what he said, right? But then he goes on and says, well, China is a nuclear, Russia is a nuclear capable power, and we have to engage them. What? If Russia has more nuclear weapons than anybody, you have to engage them. But you see China as the greatest threat of our time. This is what Elijah Muhammad said. The white man or devil knows this, which is why he goes over in the east and stops his artillery over there trying to keep the man from coming out. He starts working on him before he leaves. But they know he is going to do that. Stop right there. See, I'm just saying. John of Elijah Muhammad was telling you what the man, why America was putting all these military bases all in this, like, crescent shape all around the periphery of China. Because she knew prophecy. And this is why Pompeo, it sounds better if I let Pompeo say it.
The risk of terrorism in the world is lower today because of the good work we did in the United States, because of the remarkable work that happened here in the United Kingdom, and many partners who share our value set and know the risk from terror. But times move on, and while we still have to be enormously vigilant about terror, there's still challenges all across the world. The Chinese Communist Party presents the central threat of our times. It is...
I'm telling you, it's easy to prove this, man. It's easy to prove it. And I haven't forgotten about I say you have a ride, okay? I'm serious, patient. So I'm going to go to the phone line. I'm telling you, we get into this and then the time's going down and these people start playing with the technology, the boards and stuff, and then they prevent us from doing shows. It's frustrating. That's why I ask you all to go to the High 1565 blog and donate. But this is a lot of work I do. I mean, I spend half of my day when I'm not in martial arts, when I'm not doing the things that are required of me. I'm doing stuff for the website. I'm doing stuff for the radio show. So you appreciate me and help keep yourself going. I mean, this is a free labor of me. I'm doing it because of the love and the passion I have for this truth and my people. All right? It's called the top. It's a charity for me. Because Allah blessed me, I'm going to try to bless everybody else. But let me go to the phone lines real quick. Let me go to my good brother. I know this brother right here. I got a chance to you, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. How you doing?
How's it going, brother?
Brother, you sure it wasn't a coincidence? it could be a coincidence, right?
What Malou say? I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah, well, it could be a coincidence. Brother, when it comes time when somebody like the Philippines tells America where to get off, I mean, once upon a time, this cat would be with his cup in hand down there ready to massage Trump's feet to get an audience.
Yeah.
And now they're telling him where to go and get off. It's got to be the end of America, brother. It's got to be the end of America. What they don't understand is, like the legend said, when Allah said something, you may think it maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago it didn't look that way, but Allah knows the future. You don't. And when he says something's going to take place, he know what he's talking about. You don't. And that's the whole crux of the thing, brother. The whole black man is, our people are just, brother, just so, in such a bad shape of ignorance. And don't see anything. Only thing they can see is what's right in front of them. And that's not what wise people do. Wise people can see what happens and what this move will make that move, and that move will go to that, and it'll lead down to the ultimate destruction of America. But our people can't see anything, brother. Only thing they can see is what like you said, what the Kardashians, how big Kim Kardashian's butt is. That's it.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. They have no perception or understanding of what's really taking place. Like the man said, all of this is going on is to take you away from your slave master. And the poor black man don't think that any, like the white man, like the man said, even the slave master don't think anybody can take his slave away from him. But it's going to take, it's coming. Coming, we can see it coming down the wheel of time. It's a great thing, brother. Yeah. Go on, brother. I know you got a little bit of time. Salaam alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Good talk, brother. Good teaching. Let me go to the phone lines again. Hold on 1 second, brother. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to click off some things that just popped up. And I know how this devil does. And the dashboard is being attacked and all of this stuff. So, brother, bear with me. You know how we have to deal with these things. All right. Now, before I bring Brother Gerald in, I want to follow up Brother Rashid. So, Brother Rashid said something very important. He said, our people don't see you. Right? And he was following me up on a point I was talking about how we preoccupied with foolishness. Right? Some of you say the word will do this and this, but listen to me here. According to scripture, the word was limited. The word could only do so much, right? And as Elijah Muhammad says this, he said, when he talked about the situation facing black people, he says, and I'm going to read it in its context, okay? So I'm going to read a paragraph or so beforehand. So it's talking about something else, but it'll bring everything in order, in line, okay? So in this chapter, it's page 18 and 19, it's called Dawn of a New Day. And so we go for the last paragraph on page 18, but the core of what I want to say is on page 19. So you bear with me, brother. You, the so-called Negro, are too spiritually and mentally blind to see. Your heart is too hard against receiving the truth, and your ears are too thoroughly closed to the truth that God, Allah, has said the white race is a race of devils created to be destroyed. This truth is verified in the Bible and Holy Quran. Hundreds and thousands of preachers tremble at the thought of even accepting the truth and wish to take their followers into the fall of America. This is the problem to be solved. If it is to be solved, then how shall it be solved? See, now Elijah Muhammad is asking you questions. This is the problem to be solved. If it is to be solved, then how shall it be solved? Then he says, and what is the best method to use in the solution? So now he's weighing all of these options, right? And he's telling you, he says, it must be a solution that touches not only the enemy, but those who cleave to him while defying the wrath of Almighty God Allah. It is incumbent, says the Holy Quran, that Allah give life to this mentally dead so-called Negro. It is also made incumbent in the Bible, where Ezekiel declares in his vision that all of the dry bones were resurrected. Now listen to what he said. This does not refer so much to the word, because the word has no effect on their resurrection. Some of you are so trapped in the book. This is what I'm trying to tell you. It literally took something more effective than the word. What was more effective than the word? Because you can teach somebody. See, for so long, I remember when I started this show, I was catching so much flack, especially from people who called themselves so-called ministers of Elijah Muhammad, because they were so used to a certain way of teaching. They were doing the pulpit teaching. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says such and such, and blah, blah, blah. And they were just teaching to the choir. They had never ventured out to try to explain the teaching. They had never ventured out to try to time in your life and what they mean to you. And so I caught a lot of flack. But that flag is no longer on my back anymore because now they're trying to do it. And that's a good thing because we have to have trendsetters for our people to progress. It literally took something more effective than the word, according to Elijah Muhammad, and according to the Holy Quran, and according to the Bible. Right? What did he say? The wind that the prophets were to prophesy to represent war, which will eventually bring harm and suffering to the rebellious rejected of the truth. So what was more effective than the word? Because you can teach somebody, and they'll say, mm-hmm, and sometimes you go in one ear, and out the other one. But sometimes you can tell somebody something and it goes out there, but then later down the line something happens and immediately that thought goes back to what you said. It could be 20 years ago. But it took something more than what you said for them to recognize it. So today, same thing. So we're teaching these teachings and we're bringing it to you in real form. And then some of you ignore it, right? But as the wars or the winds as the prophet said, referring to the war, as they beat down America's economy, as they expose the inherent racism in the society and all institutions, as the crutches that they use to prop their slaves up, most of them collapse, right? And the world is no longer sufficient. These wars and the collapse and the hunger and the deprivation that is to come will force you to look at things in a different way. It will force you to do that. But you, and every one of you who are listening know. Every one of you who are listening know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes you have had conversations with people, and you talk to them, and sometimes you didn't understand what they were saying. And then 5, 10 years down the line, something happened, and you say, well, you know, that's why they said that to me. Now I understand. I didn't understand what they were saying, but now I understand it. Like when older people told you something when you were a child, and then you, yeah, whatever. Like, I remember my mom used to always talk about, we used to make fun. And my mom know this. But she was, all my arthritis, you know, we little kids and stuff. We little children at the time. And you were like, oh, boy, this weather changing. I can feel it in my bones. And we'd be over there laughing. And say, how's she going to feel the weather changing in her bones? How she knows this, right? And as we got older and the stuff started settling in, we understood because the change, not just the word, but the reality of the situation hit us hardcore. And we were able to say, why? Because my toe is throbbing. My foot is throbbing. My fingers are throbbing. My back aches. The joints are hurting. So we have to experience the word that she was speaking. And so, too, a lot of us have to experience that word of truth in reality, in real life. Not just in a book, not just on a page, but in reality, this is what we're teaching on this show. Reality teaching. Proving this teaching 100%. Let us go to the phone lines again because we know your patience is short. But let us go in order. Let us go to the 424. I know this is my good brother. Yeah, I got to tell you. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Well, as-salam, sir. Good morning to you, brother. And, outstanding teachings as always.
Good morning to you, my brother.
Yes, sir. And, you know, the point of brother Rashid, you know, it just goes to show just how much love Allah, God, came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has for us the love to set us free and that to give us a home, brother. In spite of our foolishness and ignorance, you know, they come to resurrect us, you know, first, and then the billions around the globe. But see, here in America, brother, we've been so inundated with the foolishness of the white man and his sport and play until we can't actually see what's going on of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's why it's so imperative, brother, you know, to listen in to this show because you give the actual facts of what's happening, you know, political, geopolitically, religiously, you know, of the things that are transpiring around the world. But, you know, I wanted to make a point in relation to what you were speaking on China. You know, it's interesting that, you know, how the Pentagon and America was so in awe of Iran's accuracy of their missile attack on American bases in Iraq. But what people fail to realize is China has been sharing missile technology with Iran for decades.
Yes.
So just think about what China can do in a war against America. In fact, about it, it said that the Pentagon had reportedly lost 18 of the last 18 simulated war games it played involving a conflict with China in the Taiwan Strait. So just think about what China arsenal of weapons would do to against America in that war that's coming up in Asia. And it said also that, you know, China has worked on what is called a saturation attack, that it can launch up to 20 missiles at a time. If these missiles are as accurate as Iran's, the probability of a direct hit on an American carrier is unacceptably high. So China, brother, has been, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, China has been preparing for 40 years, you know, to take on America. So here it is, brother. This yellow man is ready to defeat white men over in Asia. Yes, sir.
And you know, brother, speaking on that, I was looking at a Pentagon report. I'm glad you brought that up. They were talking. See, they don't put this out where the average person will read this stuff. They put it on as sidebars. But they were talking about they believe that the Chinese missiles are so accurate that they have a less than half a meter probability of missing. I mean,
yes,
that
sir.
Means a half a meter. That means even if it did hit you, the kinetic energy would destroy you.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That is something in and of itself, brother. That's something. Brother, thank you, brother, for calling in. You got anything
yes,
else you want to say to the people?
Yes, sir. I know you're at the end of the show, brother, but outstanding teacher. It's good to hear live once again, brother. Hopefully the devil, you know, don't touch you off too bad. I know you can't refute the truth, but the devil is going to fight this, you know, tooth and nail. But we can't get mad at it, brother, because that's his nature. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir, brother. Wa alaykum salam. I'm going to go to brother Mikhail in just a second. But I want brother, since y'all give me my credit, brother Gerald, remember when we were on the last live show and you were reading an article from one of the white newspapers, and they were talking about that Iran did not kill any U.S. soldiers, and I told you that my sources, I told you live on the show, that my sources said at least 24 were killed and upwards of 80 were injured or so. Now, do you see how they have revised all of this stuff? I stuck with what I said, and look at how they keep reviving the death or the injured. You notice that, right? I just wanted all of you all to hear this. I'm not making this stuff up. How in the world has this show been so accurate? I remember, and Brother McCall stayed right there. I got to bring this up, because my mom and I was reflecting on this one time. I used to go to her house, I still do. I go there and have coffee. And so one time, I was going to her house, and we were sitting down, and she said, I think I was taking it to the store or something. And then we came back, and as we were walking towards her front door, I was like, Mom, I'm going to start this show. I said, I was telling her about it. I said, I don't understand why nobody's talking about these. Nowhere. Nobody's talking about these issues, and it's clear as day that you got to teach the Brother Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I was telling her, all the stuff that I'm telling you now, I was talking to her about. All of it. She's been listening to the show, too. I was telling her about these things. And I was like, all these people, all these so-called ministers, none of them are touching on this. Why aren't they saying these things? I said, Mom, I'm going to do this show. It's going to be a game changer because I think people got to have this deal with things because they're not being told. They're not the inner workings of the teachings. They're not being told the teachings in real time. They're just being told textbook teachings. And look at the effect that it has had on the people today and how now you see a lot of people out there trying to give the teachers like this. Now, on that note, let me go to Brother McCall. I got to send to my good brother. As-salamu alaykum, my brother.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir, brother. I hear you good. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. Brother, just a few things I want to say. This show, the Starring Crescent Report, peace be unto you and your audience, by the way. Everybody listen. This show is a necessity, what you would call essential analysis. You need to understand what's going on. You need to listen to this show. That's why this is the most censored show on the internet probably right now. I mean, we're not bragging on the brother. He's nobody of significance in the geopolitical world. One small follower, dedicated follower of Messenger Elijah Muhammad, giving you an analysis that is explaining things on a level that you don't even understand but is of the greatest impact. But I'm going to tell you, brother, I got up this morning. I look for the show because I know how they play around and how they do you, right? If at first you don't succeed, try again, right? Third time's the charm. We finally got on, right? And here I am looking for your show. I log on to Blog Talk, and I can't even get on Blog Talk at all. On your page, which I have tagged, I couldn't even get it. It just kept loading. I ran to the phone. Ah, the show is on. And you know what I say to that? Which I told you before. For every censorship, there is a submarine. Boom. And this is it. Thank you very much, brother. Yes, keep on pushing. We're here behind you. The truth is going to get there because it's the will of Almighty God Allah. All praise to Allah for his messenger, black man. Carry on.
Yes, sir, my brother. Lama Lincoln, thank you. My brothers and sisters, see, I'm telling you, they always messing with the show. As a matter of fact, I'm kicked out from what I read on one of my emails. I've been kicked off Twitter for a while. I didn't know that. But they, all the platforms, they kicked me off. And I'm a little insignificant person, but they continue to ban me everywhere. And they cut my article links and stuff from the website. They were telling me one time, I was looking at my, and I'm going to say this then, I'm going to close out. I was looking at my traffic on the Highland 1665 blog, and I was asking my wife, because she's more in tune with this, why is my traffic only about 400, 500 readers a day? And so she hit something, and it actually showed the real traffic, and it was upwards like almost 10,000 people a day. What they had, the way they had did it, they were cutting links and they were doing all kind of stuff to try to sign me the traffic to the website. So that, and then she told me that they were doing the same thing on my Blog Talk Radio show. I wasn't aware of those things, but my wife had told me, and I was like, isn't that something? And she showed me the real numbers. It was like 9,987 readers per day or something like that. But they were suppressing it down to 400 and 300 and stuff like that. My wife was like, see, this is what they're doing to you. But it's a way around it to see your real numbers. But just the most sensitive show on the air, just the most sensitive website on the web. But we deal with that. We're going to, if we can just reach one of you, and one of you can go and tell two more people, and two more people can go tell four people, if we can do it like that in that chain of events, we can help out in an enormous way. But in closing, I got to close out. Because I feel you take, and I'm going to close out with the last paragraph, which is a short paragraph, of Message to the Black Man. All right? And it's a short two sentences. And it says, the white race's days are drawing to a close. Their rule over the darker nations must end, according to Allah and his prophet. This wicked world must give way for a world of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, what you see is taking place right now here in America and around the world is for the benefit, the liberation, and the redemption of an entire people that have been held captive and nearly destroyed for almost five centuries. That's you and me. All that you see going on, the bloodshed. Remember Elijah Muhammad talked about what's going on in the Middle East. He said there would be bloodshed and plenty of it. He said, Allah loved you so much, you are those sacred vessels held captive in the house of Israel, that he loved you so much that he would kill off nations for you. And we're seeing the dying of nations around the globe. We're seeing the uprising of people who were suppressed and oppressed for years under the empire and colonialism. We're seeing the rise of the entire black nation. It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation and upliftment of 60 million of our kind here in America, and then the billions around the globe. Know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life, but the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, in the person of one, Master Farad Muhammad, the Jesus Christ of the Christians, and the great Mahadiah of the Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I made.